You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, Pitt fans? Welcome back to another Pitt Mailbag here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Chris Carter. I am Noah Hiles. We're both wishing you a happy new year. Chris, 2024, we made it. And we got a lot to talk about. First off, how were your holidays? How was your new year?
Oh, it was lovely. We got to stay at home and chill. I know that you went out and partied a little bit. Made some predictions about the Pirates postseason. But in all seriousness, it was a good time, man. I got to stay at home. You know, I had to do some work because, you know, that's how it'd be in the sports business. But it was a lovely time. Got to enjoy the ball drop and then get some sleep. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a good time. We went to a private event on the North Shore. My girlfriend's got some fancy friends who can get us into these things. So that was a good time on New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, you know, I did what everyone's supposed to do, and that's just hang out in sweatpants and watch college football. That's what I did. And I worked a little bit. Wrote a preview for tonight's game against North Carolina. Did some other things. But, yeah, great holiday season. Great two playoff games. Never was a huge fan of the four-team format. I always thought it should have been a little bit more. But this was a heck of a send-off for this four-team format for the playoff, because those two semifinals, this is probably I thought last year were probably the best two semifinals, because prior to that, every semifinal was kind of a blowout, or at least most of them, it seemed. But man, this year, as far as you want to pair a whole year of the two semifinals, I think this is the best year, because they both went right down the line. Just two all-time classic games, in my opinion. So really cool to see that, and I'm really looking forward to the national championship. I think these were the two best teams pretty much all season, the only two unbeaten teams left standing. And it's the best offense in the country versus the best defense in the country. I don't know what more you could ask for as far as a championship game goes. And, you know, both their quarterbacks are healthy. That also matters. So anyway, we're going to get into some pit talk now. But before we do, we got to talk about the show's name sponsor, which is Mike's Beer Bar. Whether if you're in town for a Steelers, Pirates, or Pitt game, Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park and has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. They have over 20 TVs, and you can catch all of your NFL, college football, Pirates, Penguins, Riverhounds, and Premier League action right at Mike's. Come on in and try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers, as well as 80 different local craft beers available on tap. You can also get a flight and try out every option you could dream of. And trust me, you won't run out of favorites, because I never do, and I'm always there. Try their steak on a stone for an awesome meal, where you can choose how hot you want your steak cooked with a heated stone right in front of you as you enjoy a night out in Pittsburgh. Come to Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix and experience the best Pittsburgh sports bar. All right, let's start it off here, Carter. A lot of basketball questions. You know what? We'll go with Greg to start things off. Greg wants to know, what player from last year's team does Pitt basketball miss the most right now? For those who weren't paying attention, Pitt lost to Syracuse over the weekend, falls to 9-4 overall, 0-2 in ACC play, and it's got a pretty big game this evening against North Carolina. So with all the flaws considered, Chris, who would you say they missed the most?
I feel like the easy answer is Jamarius Burton, because he would calm so many things down and he would hit the big shots and he would be the guy that could lead the team. So I feel like that's the easy answer. And I say that as my facial answer. But I say this. I think that this team actually misses last year's version of Federico.
I had it written down too. Yeah.
Like, because the way that he played, he was such a defensive force. He shut down on Wando Bacot. He was able to do things. And offensively, he was able to score. He wasn't dropping the ball as much. You know, whatever he did with the Finland national team and everything over the summer, maybe he improved there, but it has not showed in his game yet. And that is, to me, the biggest weakness on this team right now is they do not have a presence in the paint who can consistently turn away, offenses that attack that area. Last year, he was an asset to that. And when he was gone, Guillermo Diaz-Graham did a great job stepping up for the couple games that he did in the tournament and giving them those options. But eventually, you saw when they played Xavier, they couldn't negate that anymore. It just wasn't a factor this year. Even with Fede Federico, they can't negate that against the teams they played so far. And if that doesn't change, that's going to be a big problem for the rest of the season. So, you know, Jamarius Burton, as far as a overall player, that's who they miss. But this team could really use last year's Fede Federico.
Yeah, and to build off of that, that was the name I had written down too. I think they're better offensively down low, just because mm-hmm. Guillermo is giving them what they need as far as production. He adds an outside shooter, and anytime you can get that from a five, I think that's tremendous. But yeah, they have no front court defense right now. Their best front court defender is Will Jeffress, who's 6'7" and is a wing, but he can defend a center better than their centers can right now. And that's a problem. And like you said, Carter, you highlighted the Bacot performance from Fetty. And that's a matchup we're going to watch tonight. And you would have thought that would have been the standard coming into this year from him. That he's not a guy that needs to get 10 and 10. And he's not even a guy that needs to get 10 rebounds a game. Because if you look, Pitt still rebounds the basketball really well against Power 5 competition. The way they have it as a group mentality, it works. That's a sustainable method that they have. But they need someone who can clog up the paint and just not mm-hmm. let guys get to the rim easily, not let guys, you know, just go to the basket and be unpunished and have open looks, and also not make mistakes on the offensive end that create transition opportunities. So Fetty would have been my pick. I also agree. I mean, Burton was the best player on last year's team. Anytime you could add a first team all ACC player, you would certainly like to have him. Just to go different, I'll say Nelly mm-hmm. is another guy. I just think that I think there is a benefit here, and this can kind of transition us into our next question, that there are times where I think this team would be better off by going four guards, and they don't mm-hmm. have four guards to play with. Yeah. Or maybe three guards and Blake, kind of like what they did last year. But when Blake's not on the floor, if they had a fourth guard where they could kind of go small and spread things out, it would help. So Nelly there, you know, you let Bub be more of a scorer, and you could even play Bub at like the three, Blake at the four, keep Ish at the two. That would be interesting. But that moves us into our next question. This comes from our pal Fran. Is it time for Jalen Lowe to start at point guard for Pitt? And this is an interesting question. In a short answer, no, he shouldn't start. But I really think that it's time for Jalen Lowe to keep getting more minutes. And we've seen an uptick in minutes. I think he played, 19 against Syracuse, and no turnovers, 9 points, 4 assists. There are times where, yeah, they should have Lowe at the one, Bub at the three, Blake at the four. But your problem there is, if you're going to go with that lineup, you need a definitive answer down low. If they could get Fetty to play defense the way he was playing defense last year, mm-hmm. you can put four big-time scorers, or your three best shooters on the floor, and a guy who can get them all the ball, and then just a guy down low to clog up the lane. I would like to see that rotate that lineup a little bit more, maybe not in a starting lineup, but yeah, Jalen Lowe needs to play more. I don't think he should start. I don't think he's done enough to take Carrington's spot or Leggett's spot. And I think that this team needs Will Jeffress in the starting lineup somewhere as well. So, no, he shouldn't start, but more, yes, he should play more. Carter, do you agree?
I agree. I like what Jalen Lowe's been doing, but even in a game where Bob Carrington had five turnovers and five assists, he still scored pretty well. He shot pretty well. He created his own shot. I think that he's still pacing himself very well. I think what's happening is Jalen Lowe is becoming a much better distributor of the basketball, and he is finding ways to attack and create more consistently. He's very explosive off the ball, and Bubba's even said, like, he's craftier than me. Like, he can come up with stuff that to create other things for other people better than he does. But I think Bob Carrington's still the bigger threat out of the point guard. I think the bigger question, though, is, can, you know, if they have cold starts from Ishmael Leggett, you know, how long do they give him to kind of get right in games? Because he was, you know, as much as, you know, some people looked at Bob Carrington the last game, I think Ishmael Leggett, you know, shooting terribly was a big part of the problem too. He's been a guy that he's been the calming presence. And that's where I think Jamarius Burton would really come in handy for this team right now, to the last question, because if Leggett was coming off the bench and Burton was your two and Bub was your one, or they could flip between Burton being the one and Bub being the two, that would be deadly, because then you'd have the guy who could calm everything down, get a 2-point bucket, and then generate stuff. And then with Burton, with the multiple shooters that they have this year, I think he'd just be just as dangerous as he was last year. So I think that Jalen Lowe, he still needs to be on the bench, but he certainly, I think, has proven that he doesn't need to be held back in his minutes nearly as much.
Yeah. To build upon your point, Leggett, first 11 games of the year, double figures in scoring. Last two, 9 points and then 5 points. So he's cooled down. I just still think, Leggett and Henson are the two guys you have to start every game, just because you can't start two true freshman guards right now. Maybe toward the end of the year, but I don't care how bad he's playing. You got to have him out there. You can't have two freshman guards out there, but I don't know. Jeff knows more about basketball than me, so maybe I'm wrong there. We'll go on the note of Jeff. Lance wants to know, if Pitt basketball has a losing season, should Jeff Capel be back on the hot seat?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Probably not. I want to say probably not, in the sense where if they only finish with like 11 wins, then yeah, he should be on the hot seat. I'm not saying fire him, but if they finish like 2-18 in the ACC or whatever, then yes, you should consider, like, he should go in to next season being like, we got to see an improvement, because it was just one good year out of everything. And while the program looks really, really good, I still think long term right now, if they go like 2-18 in the ACC, who's to say that those good pieces are going to stick around? So that would be my only caveat. Overall, I say no. I think Capel's a great coach. He was the reigning ACC coach of the year. I think that this team, even if it doesn't make the tournament, is a much better state of basketball than what had previously existed here at Pitt prior to last year's group that made the tournament. So, yeah, no, I don't think there's really anything he can do as far as on-court production this year that would lead him to lose his job. And there's very little that could happen for him to be put back on the hot seat. It would have to be something catastrophic.
It would have to be something catastrophic. And I think one thing you said that's really important here, he literally just won ACC Coach of the Year. Like, yeah. He saved the program, got it back into contention, to the point where people have the confidence that this should be a tournament team. That's why people are so disappointed right now with a 9-4 record. If this team was 9-4 last year, they might have been 9-4 last year at some point. You know, people would have been like, oh my gosh, like, this team's competing, like we can have fun watching basketball again. And I think that's where it's like, we have to be real about the situation. Also, that team last year, how many seniors did it have? Like, right. It was heavily dependent upon seniors that he brought in either via the transfer portal or developed on the roster. And, you know, oftentimes when a team like that graduates, the team that comes after them isn't that good. they need time to build. So a team that's starting a freshman guard and Bub Carrington is developing another freshman guard in Jalen Lowe, and is trying to develop big men down low that are really skinny and they're trying to figure out their roles. I think it's just a reality that, like, hey, you know what? It's going to take some time for them to still become a dominant program if you want to see them get back to where they were in the highest of highs under Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon. But yeah, unless they have a terrible record in the ACC, and I mean like only 5 conference wins all year,
yeah,
then I think that there would be a hot seat conversation. But I anticipate this team to be right around 500 in the ACC play and to be on the bubble for the tournament. And you don't fire Jeff Capel for that situation. Now, I think it will put an interesting perspective on the coming years, because remember, he signed an extension that'll have him through the end of the 2026-2027 season. So
right,
what he does moving forward will be a big part of it. But yeah, I don't think there's anything. It would take a drastically bad season for Jeff Capel to be on any hot seat this year.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it'd have to be a nightmare showing in the ACC, and it would probably have to be a whole bunch of guys leaving as well. So, and I don't think they're close to that point yet. So Mike now wants to ask, Pitt has 8 games this month. How many does it have to win in order to remain in the mix for a tournament spot? I want to go over this wording real quick here. Because when it says remain in the mix, this isn't a tournament team right now. It's not in any bracketology. It's a team that I think is close. It has the net and the KenPom to be there. And it's still super early. It's a team that still needs a big win to even be, you know, a little closer to the bubble. So if we're trying to looking at 8 games this month, I mean, what are they there? It's 2 against Duke, then North Carolina, Miami, Louisville, Syracuse, mm-hmm. Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech. So there's 4 quad one teams right there off the top of my head. I think that's all that there are. I would say 5-3 because this team's not a tournament team right now. You need to, if you go 4-4 at that point, you're 13-8. You got a lot of work to do in February if you're going to work your way back without a big win at that point. Even if they did get a big win out of those 4 this month, that's going to include another bad loss too. So I would say 5-3, assuming that you would either, that would mean you'd get one win over those 4 really tough games, the 2 against Duke, 1 against North Carolina, or at Miami, or if that included more than 1 win in that group, I think that would still be more important than the losses in the ACC there. It would be what? If they went 5-3, that would bring their record to 5-5, right? In the ACC. So yeah, I think 5-3, you're 500 in the ACC after your toughest month of conference play. That gets you your quad one win. I think that they're on the bubble. I think anything less, you're making it pretty hard on yourself heading into the final full month of the regular season.
I agree with that. I think that right now you look at the situation that they face, and like we said, you're trying to get back to 500, and a 5-3 record gets them back to 500. I look at the teams that they have to face in the stretch. You got to beat Louisville. There's no excuses.
Yep.
You got to smoke that team. They're terrible. You got to beat up on them, and you know, say like, all right, enough's enough. This is a game that we should win. I think when you look at the other teams that are out there, you got to beat a team like Georgia Tech. I think you got to beat a team like Wake Forest. You win those 3 games, and then you're talking about then the big opponents that are on their schedule. Duke twice, North Carolina. I think you also got to win your rematch with Syracuse. That's 4 games.
I think because you win that Syracuse rematch, and it's kind of a wash. That loss doesn't look as bad. You just beat each other. You flip flopped on your home court. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no, yeah, you're fine. But that's exactly where I'm going with this. But if you win those 4 games, then all you're talking about is beating North Carolina, or beating Duke 1 of 2 times, or beating Miami. You handle that business 5-3, you're in more of those conversations. And I think also something to note about the KenPom, Pitt got a very fortunate win from one of its previous non-conference opponent, Florida Gulf Coast, taking out FAU or whatever the – I'm sorry, I'm mixing up the number seven team at the time.
No, you got it. It was FAU.
If it was FAU. Okay. Yeah. But like that's a win that if Florida Gulf Coast, you know, has that win and finishes strong in their conference and they end up being in tournament conversations, that win for Pitt looks a lot better. So I think it reinforces you gotta play strong this month. And I think they have to learn from their mistakes. They've seen what teams are trying to do to pressure Bub Carrington with the ball. They've seen the teams are not going to let Blake Hinson just shoot from the logo even at times. And you gotta get answers from Fetty and Guillermo and Austin or whoever, you know, down low. That's where I'm thinking that, like, man, I really think that there's you know, there's an opportunity here, but yeah, handle your business against the teams you're supposed to beat, and then go in and steal at least one of those games against the big time opponents. Then you'll be in some serious conversations.
And also, yeah, like to build off what you said, let's say they do that exact. Let's say they get one, they split with Duke, right? So they lose to North Carolina, they beat Duke, they lose to Duke in Durham. They lose to Miami on the road, and then they win the other four games. Your ACC losses, yeah, you have five of them, but they are to Syracuse and Syracuse, at home to a really good Clemson team, at home to a really good North Carolina team, on the road in Miami, and then I don't know. Oh, Clemson, Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina, Miami. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not – those aren't five bad losses. So
no.
And you avenged – two of them by splitting with Duke and Syracuse in your hypothetical, Chris. So yeah, I think that 5-3 minimum, 6-2 gets them in they're probably a tournament team looking at as far as like bracketology goes.
Heading into February, yeah.
Yeah, but, and this is also assuming, you know, some of these teams could collapse. I mean, at this time last year, we were praising Pitt for beating a North Carolina team that was ranked and was a lock for the NCAA tournament, right? And they didn't even end up making the NCAA tournament. So a lot can happen in January. We'll see. We'll see how these ACC teams hold strong. We'll see what the value of an ACC win means this year. I think it's going to have a little bit more value than it did last year. But yeah, I would say 5-3 at minimum. If it's 4-4 or worse, you're looking at NIT probably being the ceiling. So we'll go to Gus now. Gus, and this is not basketball. It kind of relates to basketball. I think it's more just related to athletics in general. And this is our final question. Gus wants to know, if Florida State somehow finds its way out of the ACC, should Pitt follow them out the door? You want to start with this, or shall
I? Sure. No, you go ahead with this one. I want to hear what you got to say.
Should they? Sure. Yeah, I mean, but you need to be able to do it. Yeah. And that's my thing. I mean, if Florida State, people think that, you know, Florida State's in court or whatever. It's not suing to leave the ACC for free. You know, the exit price, I believe, is $570 million. And they're just trying to get that total lowered. So let's say they lower it to $200 million. $100 million. Florida State might be willing to pony up that money and leave, but does Pitt have $100 million to leave a conference? And if so, are we sure that a conference is going to be waiting with, to quote Creed, with arms wide open? I don't know. I would have to assume that if the ACC absolutely dissolved, like we saw with the Pac-12, that yeah, Pitt is going to find a home. It would probably be the Big Ten or the Big 12. But I don't know if it's just a standalone thing, or I don't know how the exit process would work as far as where Pitt would be in demand. I think that it is an attractive athletic department, but it's not more attractive than the schools that can afford to leave before it. Yeah. It's not more attractive than Florida State, than Clemson, than North Carolina, than Miami. Those are four schools that are going to get scooped up real quick. And, you know, Pitt's going to be probably paired with Syracuse. And will Syracuse leave the ACC? Syracuse would probably just go to the Big East and go football independent. I don't know. And there's a lot of different things that can unfold if there is like a mass exodus. But again, like I said, the big question is, before you could even think of what conference would want Pitt, does Pitt have the money right now to leave, even if it could? Because if the exit fee, no one's got $570 million. I mean, they might, but like no one's willing to pay that. But if it's $200 million, even $100 million, if it's $100 million, that's double what Texas and Alabama paid. Or Texas and Oklahoma, excuse me, paid. I think they both paid $50 million to leave their final year. So, Pitt ain't forking that up. I mean, they're building a new athletic facility, and they're just not the same type of athletic brand. So if that's the cost to leave, they're not leaving. They can't.
And imagine trying to pay for that, and then like you wanting to buy out Narduzzi's contract or Capel's contract. Like if you're on any of those trains, and I'm not, but I'm saying like if you were like, oh man, we got to get rid of one of these coaches. You spend any money on I'm just losing my AirPods everywhere. it's like if you spend any money on moving conferences, kill any movement of any coaches or any buying out of anything. For years, and also it takes a hit to the recruiting pool of when you're going to the transfer portal. So yeah, I don't see it actually happening, because it would take money to get out of there. If the conference dissolved, they'd be on the look, and I think that especially because I think West Virginia is in a similar boat that they're not 100% sold on the Big 12. I think that a conference would benefit from having Pitt and West Virginia in it together and making them rivals that just have to play every year. And ideally that would be the Big 10, and I would if I'm the Big 10, I'm like, I could sell myself on Penn State playing Pitt and West Virginia every single year, and those three being instant rivals. And that would be fun for me. And that would make a lot of money, because those three schools will show up against each other. But as far as, like you said, like Pitt's not a big spender in the football world. And, they can do well every so often and make a big push. But I don't think teams are going to be, kicking down the door for Pitt football right now. Now Pitt basketball, that could be interesting. I think if they can make a press, that'd be something there, but basketball ain't the driver that football is. I mean, just look at the numbers that are there. We can't see them right now as we're recording this, but I'm very curious to see that, like the TV ratings for those two college football playoff games. And I think they're going to be bonkers, and it's going to be something that no other college athletics thing is going to be able to replicate. And that's why football is the moneymaker when it comes to all of these decisions.
And one final thing on this topic here, before we wrap up the show, if you're looking at it from just a next 2-3 year window, how many more teams do these power conferences really even want to add at this point? Because if you're the Big Ten, what is Pitt? And I don't mean to talk down on Pitt when I say this, but what is Pitt bringing as far as adding to your revenue? I mean, you're getting teams that can be competitive. Sure. I mean, I don't see Pitt winning that Big Ten football conference with Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC on top of Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. And it could compete in basketball, I think, but that would also be that's a stacked league. But the idea, like I said, North Carolina, Florida State, those are national brands. They have fans outside of their city, their state, that aren't alumni. Millions of people, they tune in and they watch a game because of those uniforms. I don't know if Pitt's that. Like Pitt has a brand. It has somewhat of a national reputation. I think it can build into something a little bit more, but I'm not sure if you're in a spot right now, like the SEC or the Big Ten, where you just added so many different teams.
Yeah.
And are you in a rush to add a whole bunch more right now, especially something like Pitt, where I don't know what value that would provide to your conference? A Florida State would, because there's a lot of people who watch Florida State, and there's a lot of people who watch North Carolina, and there's a lot of people who watch Clemson in Miami. But if you're that next tier, that Pitt, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, I don't know. It's tough. So I'm not sure that they would have a definite home. I think staying in the ACC even after Florida State left is the most realistic option. You probably get a bigger slice of the pie because they're gone now. So you get more TV revenue that way. The conference, if Florida State leaves, North Carolina is going to leave and Clemson's going to leave. And now the conference is pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anywhere for them to go, and I don't think they could leave. So yeah, if they could pony up the money and be able to function afterward, you know, if David Tepper wants to sell the Carolina Panthers and pay Pitt's way out of the ACC and the Big Ten welcomes them in with open arms, then do it. But it just seems like, I mean, they're building a new facility on campus right now. Their coaches are both signed to long deals. There might be paying an athletic director a lot of money here soon. I mean, there's a lot going on that I just don't see that as a feasible option right now. So, Carter, any final thoughts?
I agree. I think people need to understand that when it comes to the spending on this stuff, you know, Pitt does not have the budget to match with. I mean, look at Indiana even spent what, like $60 million on getting rid of a coach or something like that. So like a football coach, by the way,
those decisions impact the actual team, like to win. This financial decision, it's not for anything. It's just to leave something. It has nothing to do with a new coach or something like that. So like they don't even, like you said, Carter, they don't even have the fire coach money. They don't got the leave conference money.
Yeah, it's like you got leaving the ACC money. That's what I said is to this whole situation. So I don't think it's as big of a reality for them to force their way out. But if the conference were to dissolve, I think Pitt would land in a power four, power three, whatever it would be at that point. I don't even know. Because, you know, college sports is just changing so rapidly. But I think that Pitt would find itself in a competitive place because I think someone would take it. But I don't think that they're jumping out without a parachute. I think that just doesn't happen in this situation. But that being said, we got a fun basketball game to cover tonight at the Pete, 7 p.m. And let us know if you're there. We're in the press box. If you're walking in, come say hi. And we know a lot of people do, but we're always down to say hello to anyone that loves to read our work or check out our work. And Noah, happy new year to you, buddy. We're in 2024.
Yeah, man. I will see you at the Pete in, I don't know, a couple hours. And we'll see you all there as well. Thank you for tuning in to everyone. And hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And so you could keep checking out all of our sports content here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.